practicing bowing in tune, lined up in your warm-up, that's not magically going to happen in your rehearsal. Does that make sense? This is where that stuff happens. And so I want to share a couple of ideas with you on that. But before we do that, I want to talk just quickly about the nature of your vocal folds. We used to call those vocal cords because people, when they first started pulling stuff out of bodies, they looked like cords or rope or whatever, right? But we understand that it's a little bit more sophisticated than that, so we say vocal folds right now. And these vocal folds are, in essence, a mucous membrane, right? And so in terms of priorities for your body, it's one of the lowest on the list for water distribution, right? Hearts, brains get water first. Vocal folds, sinuses.
I wishing your man was here.
Yes. It's SNL, all right?
I was wishing my man was here.
It's the Lord, Noah.
Right!
Yay! One of the best skits ever, right?
Yeah, it was.
All right, so vocal folds are mucous membranes, and so they are actually literally surrounded by a layer of water and mucus. The outermost layer of your vocal folds are a layer of water and mucus, and depending on your personal hydration level and the ratio to coffee or Diet Coke to water that you drink, that will influence your hydration level, right? All kinds of other environmental factors affect it, like if you're susceptible to, dander and pollen and
allergies.
No pollen here in this area, right?
It's warm enough here.
And about 2 weeks, is that's when people start to die? Is that what it is? Yeah. So depending on your personal, body chemistry and all that kind of stuff, and your susceptibility to things like reflux. There's all kinds of things that affect basically what the environment for your vocal folds are. But all that to say, your vocal folds are surrounded by a layer of water and mucus. And in the morning, everybody's a bass in the morning, right?
Yeah.
Right?
That's right.
See?
Yeah.
I told you I was a bass.
I'm a bass for about 20 minutes and then that's it. Why? It has to do with the thickness of your vocal folds, right? Has anybody ever gone to a football game or some sort of sporting event or been in a place where they overused their voice?
Yeah.
And then the next day, their voice was pretty, it was probably, maybe it was raspy or hoarse, but it was also probably a little bit lower. That's because your vocal folds are inflamed. They're thicker. That's the body's natural response to the healing. So, we're all basses in the morning for 20 minutes or more because of the mucus, because of the thickness of your vocal folds. And it's because overnight your body starts to accrete that mucus while you're sleeping, right? So it doesn't go down into your lungs and die. So your vocal folds are a catcher for that. But also, if you don't use your voice very much during the day, you still have a bunch of crap on your vocal folds. So by the time you get to your chorus rehearsal, your quartet rehearsal, you're still pretty thick. And I was just talking to Danny. He says after a 3-hour rehearsal and then, a couple hours singing at the afterglow, he's finally ready to go. Right? I think that has to do with the mucus that's on your vocal folds. I don't know if you've ever been in a chorus rehearsal where the director, at 9:30 at night, it's like, oh my gosh, now you're starting to sound good.
Yeah.
Right? Could you start like this? Can you sing this well for the first part of the rehearsal too? Been many, many, many rehearsals. And so that to me indicates that it takes almost that long to get the crap off your vocal folds. So I thought a lot about mucus over the years. As one does. And so I've tried to come up with what I think is a pretty logical sequence to de-mucusing your voice as you prepare to sing. So in my opinion, the purpose of a warm-up is number one, prepare your voice to sing, and then number two, prepare you to sing in an ensemble. So there are unifying aspects that have to be done. You have to sing in tune. You have to sing vowels in tune. You have to sing intervals and chords in tune. That makes sense? Those are the things that prepare you to be musically successful, but your voice also needs to be prepared as well. So that's why it's important to not show up at 9:11, but actually right at 9 o'clock. That was a plug for show up on time to rehearsal. No shame.
I think you're preaching to the choir.
So I think that means you have open season to openly shame whoever comes to the door. I don't know if you're that kind of chorus, so don't take my word for it. But before we do that, let's do a little bit of stretching. Yeah. And you know, you look at me and I look like I'm the bastion of physicality, right? I am at peak physical form. I try not to be prescriptive about what you do, what you need to do to get your body to loosen up, because we're all shaped differently. You know, some of us are, you know, really fit and in shape, and then some of you aren't. Whatever you need to do to get your body to loosen up, you know, do that. I said in shape, but I didn't say what shape it was.
Round is a shape.
Definitely go shape. Oblong. Oblong. Ovoid.
Like a Coke bottle, just 2 liters. Like a Coke bottle, but for the 2 liters.
They come in barrels now.
Some people have a six-pack. I have
keg.
A keg.
Keg, exactly.
Why don't you send the fridge?
It's a fridge?
No, my six-pack's in the fridge.
Is that a metaphor?
Do a little bit of neck massage, a little identifying of certain areas, like find your tongue. Push your tongue into your cheek. You should feel a stretch right here, right? Push it in the other cheek. Stick your tongue out as far as it'll go down. Feel a stretch there, right? All the way up, touch your nose. There was a guy in my course in Kansas City, and I can't believe I'm saying this, but he could lick his own eyebrow.
Yeah, no eyebrow.
That's right. It was nothing terrifying. Okay, so we're going to do a sequence of warm-ups. And so we will do a degunking exercise. Then we will sing, degunk, sing, degunk, sing. That's what it will be like. I do this every week with the Music City Chorus. And then they know the drill. When I start standing in front of the group to start the vocal warm-up, they start degunking. That is just, they know the drill. So there are, I'm going to give you 3 ways that you can start to loosen the mucus, and then a couple of ways to eliminate the mucus. Cool? Okay. This is gross, but it's part of it. I encourage you not to cough, if you can, or clear your throat. Those are abrupt actions for the vocal folds, and they can do a little bit of irritation. So if you have to process, swallow instead. All right, so here's shaker number 1. It is all air, no voice. And it sounds like this. Sometimes I use my hand to make sure I'm doing it right. All right, now put your chin to your chest and swallow. Do you feel a little glob go down there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all right. What's that?
So it was a bowl.
A ball?
A bowl.
The next one is mostly air and some voice. And it sounds like there was a show in the 90s called Home Improvement.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's what it is. Be careful that you're not pressing. You know, no, there's no grunting. It's just... Now, can you secure or bite your tongue with your teeth and swallow? Yeah, also hard, right? As I do this, you will hear my voice become clearer and clearer. And that's because of the mucus that wraps around my vocal cords. And then the next one is a vocal fry. So just go. Then press your tongue into the roof of your mouth and swallow slowly. You feel yourself processing mucus?
Yep.
Do you hear how my voice gets clearer and clearer every time I do it?
Yeah.
Cool. How about that? All right, do a degunking. All right, so that was three ways to process, and then, or three ways to shake, and then three ways to process. Please try not to clear your throat. I know that that's going to be your instinct, but swallow instead. All right, so degunk. So when I stand in front of my chorus, I just go like this. Like, just give me your mucus. Good, swallow it out. Semi-occluded vocal tract exercise, which means lip buzz, tongue trill. You could also do a V as in victory, or you could do a raspberry. They're all functionally the same. There's no one that's not better than the other. They're all basically the same exercise. So you pick your favorite. If you have to touch your face to make it work, too much effort. You know how lazy I am, right? So just pick one that's easier. So. Or switch partway through. We're gonna go. Falsetto. Processing mucus as you're doing that? Yes?
Yeah. So of those three that you gave us at the beginning, are we alternating between these?
Pick your favorite.
Pick one.
Okay. Yep. I like to provide people options. You hear how much clearer my voice is? Yay.
Yay.
Now let's do we're gonna sing knee and then A. Knee and then A. Say knee.
Knee.
Say A.
A.
Not a. A.
A.
Say hey.
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 Hey. Hey. It's not quite what I'm doing. Hey. Hey.
Hey.
Being quite a bit more pathetic with it. Hey.
Hey. Oh,
you understood that. That was weird.
We drove so. Hey.
We get pathetic.
What?
What's happening? We're going to go particularly enjoy your E. I think you can make your A even closer to your E in terms of where that is tongue-wise. A is the next door neighbor of E. E and then E are blocks apart. E, E. Yes, feel E in your voice. Say E.
E.
Now say E.
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 E. That's a very small movement, right? So when you do this exercise, your jaw should be completely still. Just do E-A, no N. I can't tell you how many times I've done this exercise with tons of groups, and it's never been that good. Never been that good this early into a sequence. Really well done. I think that last night, I'm going to choose not to use the word corrupted or polluted, but certainly had an influence on you. So, that did you feel how small, how slight that was?
Yes.
Yes. It's so, we try so hard in barbershop. Just be lazy. Again. I'm hearing way better A on this side than I am on this side. Again. To have to understand one really fundamental principle, and that is how we create sound as a human being through using our voice. It should come as no surprise that breath is the actuator, the power supply to our sound, and the vocal folds are the vibratory source, the sound source, right? And then we have the resonating source, and that is the vocal tract. That's it. We have articulators to help us, you know, give us different sound qualities. But basically, it's air, vocal folds that approximate, and then resonation. That's it. How much air does it take to get the vocal folds to vibrate? Can you say, hey man, how's it going?
Hey man, how's it going?
How many of you breathed before you started to say that?
Breathe.
That's past tense of breathe, I think. I'm pretty sure. Look it up. How many of you took a breath before you said that thing?
Everybody has to.
No, most of you didn't.
No.
Say, hey man, how's it going?
Hey man, how's it going?
You didn't breathe, right? You just did, right? It doesn't take very much air to get your vocal folds to function. No, almost none at all, in fact. How many of you have been told to take a certain quantity of air into your body? Yes. Yes. Why?
So you don't run out.
That's just what we do, right? Right? So, I have a 4-year-old son who sings everything that he does, right? He's playing with this. I'm playing with my cars now. Oh no, here comes the bad guy. You know, he does that kind of a narration, recitative style, of course. When am I supposed to tell him that he's not breathing correctly?
When he stops breathing.
Say about seven.
Seven? Yeah. Oh, I should wait till he's seven. Right? We're beings of instinct a lot. When we use our voices instinctually, when was the last time you thought about breathing for speaking? Right? You don't really think about the quantity of air that you take into your body to speak. Yet we fixate on that for singing, right? Only because somebody told us to. No? Yes?
Yeah.
Somebody told us to. We think it's probably a cultural thing. We think we have to have a whole bunch of air to get our voice, our bodies to be able to make sound. Again, the opposite of that is true. So let me do a little parlor trick here. I'm going to take in a bunch of air, and then I'm going to exhale most of it, and then sing. And in our brains, we think, yeah, that's not going to work. My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty. Ooh, I got some mucus going on. Let me try that again. My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Taking a breath, exhaling most of it, and then singing. That's it. We just need this much air for almost all the phrases that you're singing. So far, in the literature that I've seen you guys perform, the longest phrase seems to be about 4 seconds. Heart of my heart, when done at a crushing pace of, you know, tortoise, is that's like the longest phrase is like 5 seconds. Yet we breathe for 25, 30, 35 seconds worth of voice use. Our body has to, we have to manage that air. That air has to go someplace, right? So if your singing task is 5 seconds of singing and you have 25 seconds worth of air in the tank, you've got a math problem now. I'm not good at math, so. Right, so your body usually will react one of two ways to that excess air. Either it will hold it back. My country, 'tis of thee. And you can hear how that affects my sound. And you can still hear the air kind of fizzing out. Or it will just dump the air. My country, 'tis of thee. It took me 3 notes to get rid of all the excess stuff. It was breathy and it was weak before my vocal folds finally could close. So this exercise that we're doing, ni a ni a ni a ni a ni, or e a e a, right? How long is this exercise? It's like a second and a half. And some of you are breathing for entire populations of people. Right? Ni a ni a ni a. So I want to challenge you to monitor your air quantity. But Steve, you say, I will run out of air. And that means I need more air. Get it. Probably you run out of air because you have too much air. And your body dumped most of it in the very first one or two notes that you sing. So you did not effectively manage the air that you have. And then you think, I ran out of air. I need more air. So you take in more air. And then you run out of air. And you think, man, I just need more air. And so you go to your voice teacher, like, I want to learn how to breathe. I don't breathe properly. And they teach you more breathing exercises. All right, breathe from your navel, breathe from your belt, breathe through your toes. You know, you get all these suggestions. No, it's down and out. No, you got to breathe all the way around. Breathe through your armpits, gills. Well, I'm trying to think of all the things I've been told in my life. You've heard some of these before?
Yeah.
Big breath. Take a big breath, right? Just so much air. And then, no, that didn't work, so I'm going to go get a master's degree now in singing, so I learned how to breathe. Well, I've got a master's degree, I still don't know how to breathe. Better go for a doctorate degree. Anybody else? That was nobody else? All right. So I'm going to challenge you to simplify your breath. So that is the length of time that I suggest you breathe. Let me give you a hint. If I can hear you breathe, that's too much air. The sound change is startling. Take a big breath and sing with me. Now, release all that. Take a little, just a sip of air. Do you hear the sound change in the room? Yeah, what do you hear?
It was night and day between just the shimmer in the sound.
Yeah, there's so much noise. Because of that air, the vocal fold's not able to handle all that air pressure. That's noise. That's noise that happens in between overtones, interharmonic noise. I write IHN on my score sheet for that, interharmonic noise, especially with big choruses. They're the worst. Not mine. We don't even say the word breathe in our chorus anymore. We just say release. All you have to do is release your abdominals. That's it. You don't have to go, just release. Sing. See how closer you can get back to the A. Oh, good, good. That was good. Release. So this is going to be really, it's a little bit unnerving when you're out here. You're like, nobody prep. They started. Okay. Because usually you hear a, right? Is everybody come in? Everybody's going to come. So nobody has died yet, right? Are you out of air?
No.
He looked around.
Plenty.
I'm not talking about their brains. I'm just talking about their life, right? What do you feel in your body as you do that?
Uncomfortable?
Yeah.
Uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable. It's unsettling at first, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to die.
I need more.
It's hard. I've spent my whole life trying to figure out how to breathe, right? So now you're asking me to undo all of that.
That's a way to think about it.
Well, I mean, the issue is that I've created habits that I've got to undo, right?
Yeah.
I've got
to. We have t-shirts in this club. Have you ever heard that before, Steve?
It ought to be simple, and it probably is for a 4-year-old, but
yeah.
For a 55-year-old who's spent a lifetime singing, it's not easy, right?
Yeah, I had finished all of the coursework for my doctorate degree when I figured this out. Like, I can't tell you how many anatomy and physiology classes I took, acoustics, all of that stuff, studying, you know, the difference between cathedrals and auditoriums and all that kind of stuff. That was not fun.
Most of the people that have their doctorates in this kind of stuff, do they agree with you, or just a question?
I haven't asked them. No, this is not avant-garde. No. No, it's because it's functionally how the body works, right?
Yeah.
You have to think about how much voice use you do. Almost all of the voice use that you do, 95-98% of the voice use you do is speaking,
yeah.
Right? And we never think about the amount of air that we take into our body, yet we continue to not die and use our voice. The only time we think about breathing while we're speaking is when we're going up the stairs, right? Maybe that's just me. So, yes, but also at the same time, hopefully not, because yes, this is my ingrained habit for speech, for singing. So that's how I've been taught, that's how I've habituated myself, but the rest of your life is not that way. So functionally, you get by on next to nothing of air and still continue to be functional. So I want you to use what you naturally instinctually do. Your instinct, not the habitual instinct. Does that make sense? Right. Resist the habit you have for singing.
Right.
But but embrace what you actually do for most of the rest of your life. How many times have we talked about natural tongue, natural sound, natural breathing too. There's still a habit of going up like this, right? So the sound out here is so startlingly clear that it's almost upsetting. Like, that's not what we usually associate with choral sound, vocal ensemble singing sound. It's usually fuzzier than that. I tell you, the best groups don't have that in their sound. It's just clear. It's just voice. Put your hand right here again. I want you to see how closer your A can get to your E. Release. It's actually not too bad, right?
Yeah. It's just a little dollop.
It's still going to be upsetting, though. What's that?
It's just a little dollop of air. It's not much.
I know.
Yeah.
It's crazy, right?
Yeah.
Again, you're going to, throughout the rest of the day, and maybe for eternity, you're going to go, but I need a lot of air. It's a big phrase. Yeah. So we've been taught all about that, always big, full breath of air. Never should we take a shoulder breath, right? No clavicular breathing. Wait till we get to tell you when that's appropriate. It is. It will be at one point. All right, so D-gunk. As you stretch the rubber band, it changes sound, right? Bing, 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 bing. That's the same essential thing that happens with our vocal folds. They're in a thick, short state on our lower voice, and as we ascend in pitch, our vocal folds stretch and they thin out to create higher pitches. Pretty understandable, right? Now think about the task of breathing, and the only thing that's regulating the air flow out of your body are your vocal folds. You can handle probably a lot of air pressure, a lot of airflow when your vocal folds are short and thick. No, 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 no. I can handle that big breath in my chest voice. But as my vocal folds stretch and they thin out, I have less of an ability to withstand that air pressure the higher in pitch I go. So that has implications for high note singing, right? You're right. It's logical, though, I hope.
Yeah.
As we ascend in pitch, we need correspondingly less air to sing. Wow. And if you do have a whole bunch of air, you're going to have a bad time. Right? How many times have you heard this one? I will smile all the while you're by my... You know what's going to happen next, right? Just that breath is going to tell you that's not going to go where you think it's going to go. And when I was a kid, that was the highest song that ever existed. Was F was the highest note that Leeds ever had to sing.
Right? My goodness.
Seems like F is where we start now, right?
Yeah.
Thanks, David Wright.
And baritone.
You're by my side. Depressurized, low air singing for high notes. Hi.
Cool. So Zach was talking about you need faster air to sing higher, correct? Faster air. So is it about efficiency of using the air, not how much air you have?
Respectfully, I think that thinking about speed of air is a lot for an amateur singer to do. I think that's a professional level of vocal instruction, and not necessarily incorrect. I try to stick with just have less air. Then you don't have to worry about speed, because it'll go when it goes.
Even on high notes.
Oh, especially on high notes. Especially on high notes. Especially on high notes. Okay, so as we're doing this no exercise, I want you to think about, instead of going no, No. Think about dumping more and more of the air, so you'd have less and less constriction as you go up. How many of you have been told to lighten up as you go up?
Yeah.
Don't lighten up. Definitely get rid of the air. Definitely use less air as you go up. Okay? That's the challenge I extend to you. No. Very good. So, there's a recipe to singing in your upper register. And friends, when I tell you that I had a song with a F in it in my tenor undergraduate recital, and I sweated that thing. All right, here's an F above middle C. That's about a C, right? That seems really high. Part of my, that's my flat, B flat, C. We do have pitch bites, right?
Yeah, right on.
That's it. I thought that was just the highest note I could possibly do in my undergraduate recital. And 15 years later, I now can sing an octave higher than that in my chest voice. Not today. I'm still getting over a cold, but it's possible. But it is way less air. Is helpful, right?
Oh yeah. My gosh,
just push that.
That's awesome.
Pretty cool, right? All right. So there's a recipe. Recipe number one, or ingredient number one, is less air as you go up. Don't lighten your vocal folds, but definitely lighten the amount of air. Recipe ingredient, or ingredient number two, is a little bit of what we call twang. Twang.
Should
It's your thing right now, Steve, right? It's your thing. All right, so I live in Nashville, so twang is just an assumed thing there, out there. I want all of you to go, oh, man.
Oh, man.
That was really good. That was really good. Oh, no, come on.
Oh, come on.
Come on.
Come on.
So this exercise is going to be spoken followed by singing. Okay, make sure you swallow, crap. You're gonna speak and then you're gonna sing. So we're gonna do. Everybody gonna start there. We're gonna go. Aw, man, man. And I want it to be just putrid. Right? So don't make this pretty. Just aw, man, man. No. Aw, man, man. Can you do that with me? Here we go.
Aw, man, man. Aw, man, man. Aw, man, man. Aw, man, man.
You're getting polite again. Can you be whinier?
Yep.
Whine. I make sure I put the H in there.
Whine.
Some of you get excited when I say get whinier.
Yeah.
Whine. Oh, come on. I have a 13-year-old girl. Yes, boy. So just think about that. Just a teenage girl, you're there. Yeah, just think of the eye roll. The eye roll is that whine. Oh, man, man. Here we go. I can tell when you're getting your abdominal muscles locked. Release your abs. Man. Dan.
I think a point of this, too, is that it's all man, without taking a breath between the two.
Oh, you're figuring out my tricks, Dan.
Right? So people are saying all man and breathing again. You can kind of hear it, but it's...
Yeah, that's why I stopped.
Oh, man, you're supposed to just keep going forward.
Yeah, that's why I stopped, because I heard, oh, man.
Right.
Oh man, come on, oh man, hey, up to an F right there. Oh, man. wider vowel. Uh-oh. You all right? I just said wider vowel. So. Yes, that was really gross. Nice. Nice. And here. Take a shower afterwards. Oh man. And just make it gross. Here we go. And
Oh man.
There's still some this side of the chorus. I know the bass is over there. Man. Just embrace them. Let that vowel go clappy. Let that just go really, really gross. Shape of the mouth, and three, a little bit of twang. Right, that was, what was that?
Close to an A.
G. Yeah, A flat, yep. So that was an A flat at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
Was it effortful?
Yep.
Mentally?
Yes.
Yeah.
In that way, yes.
Yeah.
But physically, no.
Good. Good. Let's do one more. This is not how long warm-ups usually take, but I'm also teaching at the same time. So, degunk. Say, we're going to sing, oh, what a lovely day. Say, oh, what a lovely day.
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 Now, that sounds a little bit 18th century British. Oh, what a lovely day. Can you make it? Oh, what a lovely day. Just make it a little bit more conversational. Oh, what a lovely day. And,
oh, what a lovely day. Oh, what a lovely day.
How do you say that last word?
Day.
Hold you in the palm of his hand. Day. That vowel exists in American English. Day, right?
Day.
Oh, what a lovely day. Oh, what a lovely day. Right? Oh, what a lovely
day.
That exists in the wild. All right, here we go. And,
oh, what a lovely day. Oh, what a lovely day. Oh, what a lovely day. Oh, what a lovely day.
Not in your falsetto, at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Full voice.
What's that?
Cool boys.
Not falsetto, for sure.
Come on, man. Oh, what a lovely day.
That's, it can't be that, right? Or better than that. So we're going to explore a little bit more of that stuff as we go on, right? All right, let's do a little tuning exercise. Make sure you swallow. Let's do here, let's do a major scale on loo. Say loo.
Loo.
This is the vowel that we would have in the word goose. Say goose.
Goose.
Goose. Goose.
Goose.
Loo. And we re-articulate the L every time. Loo, loo, loo. Here we go. And
loo, 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 loo.
Some of you brothe for the room at the top notes, right? Do that again. All I want you to do is release your abs. Don't think about breathing in. I want you to just release when it's time to do that. Ready? And in fact, my gesture, I'm trying to show you, instead of going to breathe, I'm trying to show you release, right? Start at the top. This half of the chorus is going to sustain the fifth scale degree. And this half of the chorus is going to do the scale. Let me hear what that first note sounds like. Let me hear what that first note sounds like with that giant amounts of air. I'm trying to be super, super gentle in my conducting right now. Yeah. You can breathe whenever you want. You cannot. That's not true. You breathe whenever you want to, but if you're going to breathe, release. Let's try that again. Got slightly better when you did that. Barbershop is built on roots, fourths and fifths, right? If the bass is singing the root of the chord, somebody somewhere is singing a perfect fifth above them. So it behooves us to tune perfect fifths really, really well. If the bass is singing the fifth scale degree, that's most of the other notes that a bass sings, somebody somewhere is singing a perfect fourth above the bass. So it helps us to sing perfect fourths and perfect fifths in tune. This exercise where we start on a fifth, and we sing it, we make sure we're singing unison really, really well, then we get to the top. That's a perfect fourth. Da 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 da. That's a perfect fourth, and then a perfect fifth again. So this exercise specifically is to help us tune fourths and fifths really well. Switch roles. So you're here, hear that first note? Hear that first note without a bunch of air? Say goose.
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 Goose. Goose.
That's a better vowel than what you just had sung.
No.
the vowels as we know them. E, A, A, O, U. Yeah. Basses and baritones. I don't know what the baritones are. I just assume over here. But maybe not. This side of the room, I want you guys to do E, A, A, O, U. Sing that for me. And E. Start at a perfect fourth about them. You start here, ye, ah, oh, hear that E, E, really good E, ah, say it hot.
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 Hot. So that's why when you're going down, your half step is going to be small. And if you're going up, your half step is going to be a little bit wider. Better you're here and bye. Hey. Not aw, but. Say ha ha ha. Can you be a little bit wide-eyed crazy with it? That was terrifying and accurate. just saying louder. That's what he means. Louder. Nope. All right, you're there, Selma. And you're now here. E-A. This is the perfect for the A-A. Ha-o-o-o, port to fit. Sounds like this was good over here.
Like your Canadian, eh?
Hey, hey. Yeah. Here you go. Version of a warm-up that should take 20 minutes. But I want to do one chord exercise before we move on to our rep. Degunk again. And I appreciate that you guys have a chord exercise that you like to do, but I like this one, so if we can try this one, you probably have done it, but let's just do it anyway. Basses, raise your hand. Good. Admitting it is the first step. Your part is, you have two notes. So if we're going to pick, let's say the word no, we're going to do, basically we're going to go no. Easy peasy, right? Lead, you're going to do an entire octave scale. You go no, 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 no. Let's hear those two parts together. Bass and lead, leads.
No.
No. Here we go, two parts. No. On this pitch, no.
No.
Here we go.
No.
Stand up.
No. To that, you're gonna go up to the half scale. Yeah, up a half step. Bass, baritone, lead.
No. 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 No.
Tenors, you can already start to guess what your part is. No, 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 no. So when the tenors go up to the ninth degree, that's when basses and baritones move and back down. Here we go, everybody singing. No, say no.
No.
Maybe oh, no.
No.
No. So what I'm hearing is no, 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 no. I want you to get, I want you to get nasty as you go up. Not louder. Just no, 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 no. that as my gesture. My gesture is influencing your sound because I keep going like this, right? Here we go.
No, 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 no.
Has a number of things that I'm going for here. Number one is the clarity and consistency of the vowel throughout the range. So a couple pitfalls, basses, you're gonna go bed, bed, beefcake, bed, bed, same vowel, right? Bed, 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 nope, bed, 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 bed. Yeah, consistency all the way through, go. Not all starting on the same pitch. Let's do day, as in today is going to be a great day. We're going to do day, say day.
Day.
Try it again. So relaxed. I will hold myself more accountable if you hold yourself more accountable to see, to sing what you're singing. Glad, 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 glad. Tenors, that was your very best one. Really, really fine singing. Now, say hot.
Hot!
Now,
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 now.
It's exciting. Release. Now,
now, now, now, now, now, now, now.
Really, really great job, basses. Baritones, we never locked quite in, so I'm going to stop you on the five. Here we go. Now,
now, now, now, now, now.
Spectacular singing, really, really good. Now, 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 now,
now, now, now, now, now, now,
spectacular tenors. Basses, I want to do it one more time because that took us just a smidge to get into that. Now, 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 now. Leads, that was better. It could be grosser.
Grosser.
Disgusting. Here we go. Dig in. Last one. Here we go.
Now.
Exciting. Release.
Now, 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 now.
Yeah.
So, what is your thought on drinking and stuff while we're warming up, while we're singing,
My chorus used to meet in a bar. Is that what you meant?
Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah.
Should we do shots? Should we do the wrong person
in the middle? Nothing. Don't mix like orange juice and stuff with it because it has acid. And...
No. Yeah.
That's not what you mean.
Right.
I mean, maybe it is, but probably.
Coffee and water in the midst of a rehearsal, in the midst of.
Yeah. So any liquid that you drink during a rehearsal will not have any effect on your body for a couple of hours at least, but probably days.
Okay.
Also, there's a little bit of a misunderstanding of where the vocal folds are in relation to the mouth. Like some of you are like, well-intended probably. You were told that if you put a little bit of honey or lemon or cayenne or vodka in your water, it'll help you sing better, right? That's just a little bit of a misunderstanding of how the body functions, because we have two tubes in our body, right? This is the mouth. That's pretty much how it is, right? We have a piece of cartilage right here called the epiglottis. Epi meaning above, glottis meaning glottis. It's so funny when you guys choose to laugh.
It doesn't take much.
Reasonably entertaining.
This is the windpipe. It goes to the lungs. Right? This is the esophagus. It goes to the stomach, right? Yeah. So this epiglottis right here, its job is to, when you eat or drink, its job is to fold over the top of the airway, sealing it off so that anything you eat or drink go past that tube and go down to your stomach. Make sense?
Right.
Sometimes, though, we have an epiglottis fail, and you get something down the wrong tube. You've had that before, right?
Yep.
Yes. Your vocal folds, your glottis, the job, the primary reason that we developed, evolutionarily speaking, the vocal fold was to protect the airway, prevent stuff to get into the airway, like water. Because if you get a lot of water in your airway,
you drown.
You die. So its job is to protect you from the airways when the epiglottis has a fail. Right? So anything that you eat or drink, regardless if it's during rehearsal, is not actually going to get to the vocal folds. It's just all going to go down this way. How many of you, don't raise your hand, but lozenges during rehearsal?
Mm-hmm.
Gum.
Gum? Yeah. All that stuff just bypasses. You're not going to get anything on your vocal folds unless you do it wrong.
So then does that mean you're suggesting that water that we drink 2 days before our rehearsal might be advantage, but what we drink the day of is not
so
really
good?
Really,
I mean, 2 days before is good then?
I'm saying that, again, in terms of priority, your vocal folds are last on the list, essentially, of water distribution. So you drink water, and that's immediately going to go to your brain, and it's going to go to your brain and to your heart and lungs and all that kind of stuff, because it's got to keep those organs alive. Yeah, vocal folds are last on the list. And again, stuff that you swallow is just not going to touch your vocal folds. It's not stuff that you inhale will, because it's literally going through your vocal folds to your lungs. That's why smoking is discouraged in singers. Actually, sometimes people are like, how do I get to sing lower? I say, you can smoke. Or drink.
Or both.
You get your vocal folds to go, are you amening to that? Or?
So a gospel quartet bassists are notorious for smoking cigars, particularly before a concert. So.
I see your hand. So inhalants will go through your vocal cords. So, but the stuff you ingest, generally speaking, won't.
That makes sense.
But what about eating right before a meal or right before singing? Like, especially having like pizza or something dairy, right? No dairy before you sing. You've heard that one before, right?
Yeah.
That is, it depends. Some people are more susceptible to an inflammation caused by dairy than others. We're not really supposed to be drinking cow's milk. Don't tell that to my wife because she loves cheese. But we all have a mild to major inflammatory response to dairy. And so that can have an immediate effect by increasing, you know, thickening the mucosal lining, particularly around the vocal folds. So some people can look at pizza and like immediately start to swell up. I can eat a couple slices and then go on stage and sing and be just fine. That's just how I am. That's usually how I roll.
So I guess then, how does the buildup of mucus and stuff that sometimes we feel after eating, or maybe when we have a cold, I guess how is that getting there? Because I'm just front of group.
I don't know. Some of it's from our lungs. It's trying to process from the lungs. Some of it's just like we just accrete that stuff over time as you clear your throat. But our job as preparing to sing is to get rid of the junk and do all the tuning. So do you feel like your voice is really nice and primed right now?
Yeah, pretty good.
Not mine.
Definitely.
Hopefully this won't take you 2 more hours to get warmed up, Dave.
But it's so hard to not clear my throat. It's killing me. But I'm doing it.
Good for you. Good for you. Swallow instead. Other thoughts, other questions about the warm-up, maybe the sequence or why I picked different vowels or any of that stuff? Does it make logical sense?
Yeah.
Oh,
I just want to make sure that I'm getting this right, though. When we start at the lower notes and we get in that higher range, we need more twang?
Twang can be, for a lot of folks, it helps bridge the gap from the lower voice to the upper voice. Right? This is particularly helpful in women as they switch from chest voice to head voice. But for us, especially men, as we're going through about middle C, that's when you need to start adding a little bit of twang to ease that transition to that upper voice.
Would that be considered like also brightness in the twang? Would that
be
true?
Can be, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But it's not something that we're like, how do I add twang? Like what lever am I pulling to make that happen? I don't want to tell you, because it's kind of complicated, but it is something that you just can do, right? You just did, and so there's a little bit of a, it happens down here in the larynx, but it's too complicated really to talk about, but I definitely want you to understand that it is an instinctual or primal sound. It's something that we don't have to think about to create, we just do. It's like crying, and nobody taught us how to cry, we just did, right? Nobody taught us how to laugh, we just did. Those are instinctual, primal sounds. Twang is also one of those, instinctual primal sounds.
Just during the warm-up, I was able to sing most of it completely full voice, and as a lead, it's higher than normally I would sing full voice. Typically, I would have flipped a falsetto. So during some of them I was flipping, and others I was doing a full voice just to feel the difference. What do you recommend? Or is there a rule of thumb for now it's time to be in your falsetto versus, yeah, you should definitely attack this full voice?
I have two responses to that. One is Steve, the arrogant lead singer, and two, Steve, the voice teacher, right? But let me put it in a context for my chorus, the Music City Chorus. We did win the international contest this last year. Pretty excited about that. We got our contest song, A Circle of Life, during the pandemic when everybody was on Zoom and all that garbage, right? Let's not do that again, please. And I remember when the arranger gave us the song, I was like, this is incredibly beautiful. But also, do you hate the leads? What's the matter with you? Why are you like this? Who hurt you? Because the last page of the song is in the key of D. And the leads sing, for the most part, the lowest note on that page is a F sharp. Till we find our place on the path that winding, D in the circle. I'm just like, what's the matter? Why would you do that? And I was like, this song it has the potential to be so epic, and I think the leads are going to be crucial to make this happen. So I said, when we all back together, I said, leads, none of you are singing the last page in falsetto. All 25 of you are going to sing this in your chest voice. And they're like, yep. Nope. Is there an apt out? Can I pass? No. I got all of the leads to sing that last page in their chest voice. And it was through some of this stuff that we just did today. A ton of twang exercises. A ton of releasing. And anytime that they went, I said, no, stop. Because you will not make it if you take a big breath and then you just hold on to it right here. It's just not going to happen. So it's just a lot of reconditioning, letting them understand that they have those notes in your voice. Like when we did the, come on, right? That's that's a B flat C. We laugh at that frequency all the time. We never think about that is also phonation. Those are notes that we can use in our voice all of the time. But then we get the sheet music and it's like, really an E flat? I'm a bass. That's high. Nope, it's not. You constantly make noises and sounds above that all of the time. But we've compartmentalized singing so much that it's, we've trained ourselves, or we think that we can't do it, but we definitely can. And so getting that mindset shift out of the way, and then experimenting and finding ways that we successfully make those notes, and then bringing that into the singing, is that was the strategy. So I'm glad that you found success doing that. It's great. So when do you switch into falsetto?
Never.
I don't. Honestly, even when I sing tenor, I don't. I just go. And it's hard for, it's pretty loud. we're singing Take On Me in our chorus, and the leads have to sing a high.
Yes.
In a tenor. I think it's a high F. And I'm like, I can do this one of two ways. Really loud and awesome. Or I'll listen. So I don't want to hurt the people around me, so I sit out on it. But generally speaking, whenever you feel like that transition can happen. But what I'm hoping to equip you with is more tools to successfully stay in a mixed voice longer, so you don't have to necessarily switch. Because for a lot of folks, when they switch to falsetto, there's a loss of power. Yeah. And that's because of what your vocal folds do there. And so there are ways definitely to sing in your falsetto with a ton of power, but it all comes down to air quantity. Both formulas talk about it's air quantity.
Two quick questions. In your assessment, does Drew Ochoa flip? Does he go into falsetto on those things, or does he stay in that
tenor? I haven't listened to that for a while.
Lead of After Hours.
No. I was actually there when they sang it. I can't remember what he does.
It's pretty seamless. Yeah. But
I don't think it is. I don't think it is falsetto.
I would say not based on this discussion we had. And, I mean, he's a pro. Yeah. So my second question is, so how long did it take you to get Music City leads, those 25 guys, to be able to do that?
3 months. But we did it every week. Yeah. We started during the pandemic to do that. And by the time, you know, we kind of came out of the pandemic and what, late 21, we were already starting to make it part of our regular rehearsals. And then by the time 2022 hit, we were already kind of almost full steam doing that. And what's funny is that, like, I listened to the recording of what we did in 2022 and I go, that's okay. Because our leads sing significantly better today. Significantly better. So.
The reason I ask the question is, it's a process.
Right.
It's not something I'm barely scratching the surface back here as trying to be a lead singer, and I'm going, I'm glad you're getting it. You know, I'm miles away.
But it's a mindset, like, for me too, because I was like, I hit an F, and that was it. That was my ceiling. And, like, letting go a couple of things and letting my voice go to that kind of gross place and realizing how much the air impacted it and realizing how much vowel impacts it too is those were, but you have to do all of it together. You can't just go, oh, I'm just going to lighten up. Well, you can, but that you're going to have a loss of power. I want that to be, I want you to feel like you can go into your upper register with power and be totally fine.
Do the tenors work on that as well?
Yeah, they did. But they did it from the falsetto side of it, too. Does that make sense? So they I didn't ever tell them when to switch. But when they were in their falsetto, it was absolutely full closure, depressurized, low palate, correct vowel, all that stuff. Just so they can stay in the consistency of the sound. Sir?
Yeah, what I do to warm up that side of my chest voice is I spend some time in that whining bass, but I also warm down my falsetto in that kind of that same timbre, and it creates this, instead of having this space of notes where you can't sing, it creates this maybe a wedge,
yeah,
right here. Shim, is that the right word? It's a wedge, kind of a wedge where I can go up my chest voice higher and higher, and then lower and lower into my falsetto. And
yeah.
Kind of that.
So with the chorus, because I do the works every week, about every third or fourth week, I'll do an exercise like that just to bring it down. But they're better at that than they are taking it up. So we do a lot of up exercises. Hopefully that was informative and good. It's 10:38, believe it or not. Probably time to take a break.
Okay.
Yeah? I hope you come back.
Don't count on it. Be back in five.
Four.
I'll be back in five.
I'm back.
I'm always in falsetto there because I don't want to shout it out. But then it sounds weak to me.
So if you do what you taught when we were in coaching, having you applying to modify your
up
to get twangy, I guess.
Yeah.
You should be able to do it full voice.
Should be. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to
get figure out how to make that work.
I mean,
consistently.
Here, man.
Yeah.
Hope it goes well.
Yeah. Thank you. Makes perfect sense.
And that dropping, you know, the releasing. I've heard that before about you drop your abs.
Yeah, just the your diaphragm.
The air automatically comes in.
It does.
Yeah. Although I didn't have as much. A couple times I didn't have as much air in it as I thought I needed.
I think it's still going to, for me, it's going to still take some time working on using less air.
Yeah.
I mean, I was playing, and I was trying to do less air too. That trying to use less air.
Matthew! What's going on?
I'm leaving for a little bit. Star Harmony has an audition.
Good. Good for you. Well, have fun. Break a leg.
Thank you.
Okay.
Or something close to that.
You don't miss lunch. I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what the table's for.
Yep.
I think a few Star Harmony people will be coming for the last half to the coach.
I think we could allow that.
I invited them.
I mean, it's not like I have much say anyway.
It's like, don't ask permission, wait and ask for forgiveness.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, they're just going to show up.
All right, see you guys.
Adios. See you, man. It's nice that you can flip that sort of line.
But it's really not. I understand what you're saying. It's beyond me because I don't. My problem is, I'm good so far. Going through exercise, if I don't know what I'm supposed to be accomplishing, I have my coffee, I get my cat.
It's Tupac. When you get closer,
I thought he was wearing a bandana.
Yeah, so I thought from here, from over here, I thought he was playing something, but it's just his arms going. I thought it was something that got to do with his band.
So I understand what you're saying.
It's Biggie Small.
That's right.
So you get that comprehension.
And I will take a bunch of air,
and I
start stacking it on top of air, and you start getting it
from
down. And you're like, holy crap, I got so much air, I can't get rid of it. It's here, and you're like, I can't, there's not enough time in this song, hardly any song.
I just got to have more air all the time. The bridge, like, oh crap. Air gets.
And then you step it up.
It's just in there.
That's easier for me to sing than it is to try. I don't know why. It just is. Because like you said, you guys were all
that's happy to me. Especially on
all of a sudden become very efficient at your air and not use any of it, and you keep sucking more air in here. Like, okay, I'm full of air in here. I only need this much.
And it's because you've got all this stuff that you're pulling up in.
So I can't actually make it.
Everybody else.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure